Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Saturday night, January 29th, 2022. Actually, it's technically Sunday morning. This Royal Rumble went on a little bit longer than expected. But I got to be honest with you. Overall, from beginning to end, not a bad show. Anybody that saw on my social media account, I said that the men's Royal Rumble will always be remembered for the last five entrants and really what goes down from that point forward. And it did. DJ Evo, welcome to the family, my friend. So we're going to talk about the Royal Rumble. I don't think we'll have to dedicate a crazy amount of time, but we had a few surprises. I think with WWE, sometimes we think a little bit too outside the box, you know, and I kind of should listen to myself a little bit more often, because we have talked about, you know, when we get to Mustafa Ali, okay? Mustafa Ali, on, you know, we know the falling out between him and WWE. They have not granted his release. And earlier today, he posted a tweet. He said, no, I don't want to be in the Rumble. I want my release. So that's what Ali wants. You know, now it's between him and WWE to try to legally fix this. But, you know, when we talked about Ali, and this actually ties into tonight, when we talked about Ali and his New America storyline, you know, I had commented about it and I said, you know, maybe, and I thought the storyline was excellent, but maybe it's just too complicated for 2022 WWE, that their writing seems to be more simplistic. The storylines seem to be more simplistic. It is TV PG compared to AEW, that's TV 14. You know, they're more about, you know, you look at the storylines with WWE and nothing is uber complicated. And I think when we thought about Brock Lesnar, we thought about Ronda Rousey, we thought about Bianca Belair, Big E, Saudi Arabia, you know, I think we think too far in advance, and I think we also try to get a little bit over creative with ideas. I think if we keep WWE very, very simple, I think pretty much what went down tonight is what a lot of people would have expected. Now, congratulations to Bobby Lashley for regaining the WWE Championship. That is something, if you go back to my predictions and the conversations that Mish and I have had over the last few weeks, you know, Bobby Lashley defeating Brock Lesnar for that championship really cements Bobby Lashley and his legacy. I mean, he needed that statistic. He needed that that little notch on his resume. You know, Drew McIntyre beat Goldberg. You know, I mean, Drew cuts promos. He'll always remind us of that. Bobby Lashley beating Brock Lesnar really, really does, you know, just cement Bobby Lashley and what he's done. And, you know, look, in my opinion, and we've talked about it before with WWE Day One, is this two times now that Brock Lesnar screwed Big E, if you really think about it? Because if we didn't have Roman Reigns with the situation with COVID, Brock Lesnar would likely not be your WWE champion. And obviously they did an audible and Big E lost the championship and Brock Lesnar was your champion. Now, because of Brock, you see the dominoes that basically fell as a result of this? Big E is your champion. Roman Reigns is supposed to take on Brock Lesnar at Day One. Roman gets COVID. They put Brock on Raw. Instead, they decide to give the belt to Brock. Brock is going to lose the belt quickly, but now he loses it to Bobby Lashley, which helps cement Bobby Lashley's legacy. Bobby Lashley goes on to WrestleMania. Who takes on Bobby Lashley? Now, if anybody has followed my WrestleMania predictions, Bobby Lashley versus Big E, Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair, Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte. Those were the four WrestleMania matches that I've said the last 2 weeks that I believe will happen, and I'm sticking to it. I think what we probably didn't expect tonight, we probably expected some of what went down tonight to happen in Saudi Arabia, because you got a $50 million pay-per-view. You know, the Saudi Arabia, the Crown Prince, they all, next to The Undertaker, Brock Lesnar is their darling. So you think, okay, Brock Lesnar winning the Elimination Chamber in Saudi Arabia, that pleases Saudi Arabia quite a bit. But we get Brock Lesnar tonight, who lost the championship but won the Royal Rumble. So now I think Big E, if Big E's going to take on Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania, Big E has to win the Elimination Chamber. The big question is, what match will Bianca Belair win in Saudi Arabia? Because that is a topic that still has not been talked about by the news world. You know, Saudi Arabia is not thrilled with the idea of having the women battle inside an Elimination Chamber. It might be uber watered down, but, you know, they could still end up working something out and have it. But if they don't have an Elimination Chamber match, there's obviously going to be a high-profile match in Saudi Arabia to determine who is going to take on Becky Lynch for the championship. And that's something we talked about even on Monday, that if Bianca Belair does not win the Royal Rumble, I expect her to win the match in Saudi Arabia. But we'll talk about it tonight. We'll definitely talk about it tonight. I know that we just had a super chat come in, and I think it had to do with Sasha Banks. Little gimmick infringement tonight. Little gimmick infringement. Crazy Cruiserweight says Sasha Banks dressing up as Sailor Moon. Crazy Cruiserweight doesn't like women wrestlers over the age of 30. But I looked at it tonight, and I said, hey, wait a minute. Sasha Banks tonight, she dressed up as Saray. I mean, wasn't Saray supposed to have the Sailor Moon gimmick in NXT? So I'm a little curious. I wonder if WWE is now going in a different direction with Saray, but Sasha Banks wearing a Sailor Moon outfit. Happy birthday to Sasha. She turned 30 this week. I think today is Becky Lynch's birthday as well. Now, before we get into the individual matches, I want to just show you the video right up front. It's not a problem. This is fan footage. It's all over the net. And I didn't look, I originally had it in the title, but I don't want it to come across as clickbait. I know if everybody sees the title for the show, oh, WrestleMania sign on fire, catches fire, you know, people are going to think, you know, maybe something absolutely terrible happened. Now, I have the video of what happened. I'm going to show it to you in a moment. But for those that don't know, if you go back and you watch Becky Lynch versus Doudrop, number one, the crowd seems a little bit disinterested in the match. You see a lot of fans looking in a different direction. Crowd is not really popping to a lot of what's going on in the ring. And as Becky Lynch said on Twitter after her match was over, she is so hot that she set the WrestleMania sign on fire. Basically, what happened is when Ronda Rousey won the Royal Rumble and they had all those crazy pyros going off between the pyros and the heat from the pyros, the big WrestleMania sign, the sign that everybody points to, it actually caught on fire. And they actually had to take a section of the audience and move them temporarily until they put the fire out. Because, look, the fire, obviously, they had to pull it out so it doesn't turn into a major thing. But the problem is, as you'll see on the video, you had plastic melting down from that sign. You just think of insurance. Imagine if you're sitting in that section and in a hot piece of melted plastic. Look at Cody, you know, with his back from the plastic from the table. I mean, so they actually had to evacuate that section while they put it out. So, but I'm going to show you the video now just to get it out of the way because we don't want this to feel like clickbait or anything like that. But this is what originally happened. Now, it's not anything major, but still, imagine you're sitting above that section and you see that. I'll take the sound off. But, you know, you got the fans. It's on fire. It's on fire. So, yeah, they had to lower down the WrestleMania sign because it actually caught. Now, you know, you have seen some tragedies over the years with nightclubs and everything with pyros inside. You know, obviously they want to rectify this as quickly as possible. You see all that whole section getting out of Dodge. Look, they're all booking out of there. That sign is not small. That sign is a lot bigger than you think. So they ended up putting it out, and here's the footage. You'll see. There we go. Big pop for the fire extinguishers. The Royal Rumble was so hot. It was so hot that it caught fire. So that's what happened. Obviously, they adjusted the pyros. They were able to have the sign illuminated. Everybody was able to go back to their seats. They made sure that there was no hazard. All is good. All is good. But I tell you, somebody sitting in that building, especially right on the, you know, that must have rattled a bunch of brains out there still. Yeah, the event was fire. Absolutely. So, all right, so we got that out of the way. Very, very cool to see Drew McIntyre return. He had some legitimate issues with his neck, but apparently his rehab, and he didn't need surgery. It was rest and rehabilitation. And he rested and he rehabbed a little bit and he felt a whole lot better. And he said, hey, I want to return. So Drew McIntyre made his surprise return tonight. Now, they will go forward a little, you know, delicate with Drew McIntyre just so he doesn't re-injure. Because, look, we are the road to WrestleMania now. This is the official road to WrestleMania. And, you know, WrestleMania, biggest event of the year. Drew McIntyre does not want to miss it. Another thing, Sasha Banks. Now, yes, look, let's make this clear. Sasha Banks had a significant leg injury. WWE said she was going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. Royal Rumble was out of the question. And Saudi Arabia likely was out of the question as well. And trust me, no one was lying in the camp of Sasha Banks or WWE. They did not expect her to be back this soon. Now, for anybody that got upset today at her being eliminated so early, you know, let's remind everybody about this. Sasha Banks is not 100%. They're going to go slow with Sasha Banks. They don't want her to aggravate the injury. You might remember Alexa Bliss, who was not scheduled to appear tonight. I know a lot of people thought Paige was going to return. Didn't happen. It's a shame. Bayley, not ready to return. Asuka, not ready to return. I think Bayley and Asuka will be back in time for WrestleMania. But if you remember Alexa Bliss, when she had the issues with the concussions, we've talked about it. You go back and you watch the matches. When she first came back, she was doing next to nothing in the matches. She was doing very, very little. She was teaming up with Nikki Ash, and Nikki Ash was doing most of the work, and they were slowly getting her back in the ring. The only difference was instead of training and, you know, her doing it in a performance center, because this was right smack at the beginning of COVID, they decided to do it on air. They just made her do very, very little. And that's pretty much the deal with Sasha Banks. So, look, I know I joked on social media, looking at all the people whining. This is why I hate WWE, because Sasha got eliminated early. She's not 100% yet. And WrestleMania, obviously, is something you don't want to pass up a year with. Just remember how upset Charlotte was that she missed WrestleMania last year. You know, this is, you don't want to pass it up, especially if you're a WWE superstar. Not only is it the payday, but it's also the memory, and it's a very important part of your career. Another person that I absolutely loved to see her back, and I don't have a side-by-side. You could do it. Go on Google. If you go look at this woman when she was the women's champion, I mean, you go right on Google, it's the first picture that pops up. If you look at Ivory when she was the women's champion, what, 20 years ago? And you look at a picture of her now, I mean, look, of course, back 20 years ago, she was wearing no makeup. She had her hair pasted back. She had the right to censor outfit, the right to censor music. She tried to portray herself as like an older librarian. So obviously she looked older then, but it's amazing how good she looks for 60 years old. Now, look, we've seen her in recent years, but to see her in the ring and to see her do a little bit, of course she can't take the bumps. Not everybody at that age is like Sting, but I thought it was pretty freaking cool to see Ivory make a return. Someone who I felt bad about, and look, we're just going over, you know, just a quick rundown. We don't have to get into every little thing, although I did take a lot of notes with the women's and the men's Royal Rumble matches. But I felt bad for Melina. Now, we've seen Melina. We've seen her in Impact. We've seen her in NWA. You know, I know there's a lot of people out there that are very disgruntled about WWE, yet they never spend any time checking out other promotions out there. So we've seen Melina. We know what she looks like right now. But when you see her sobbing the way she was tonight, you know, that gives you an idea of how emotional it is to be part of the WWE family. You know, we're fans, we're on the outside looking in, we bitch, we complain about every little thing, you know, but for them, you know, there is a very special connection. And, you know, she's wrestled in other promotions and she's happy as well. But when you saw her in the ring with Sasha Banks tonight, you saw how emotional she got. And I don't know what happened with the elimination. I don't know if she was supposed to get eliminated that quickly. To me, it looked like she slipped. But, you know, if you look, I mean, I guess she was supposed to do her split inside the ring. And when she got eliminated, Sasha is mocking her doing a split. And Melina goes on the floor on the outside of the mat is doing a split. I kind of feel bad for her because something tells me that's not the way it was supposed to go down. So it was nice to see a few returns. But obviously, the big return tonight, Ronda Rousey. Now, look, you know, I'm going to say this just in common sense. You look at WWE as an entertainment outlet. Ronda Rousey is one of the biggest names in sports, period. Ronda Rousey, when she got involved with wrestling, she did a pretty decent job with it. And she actually was very believable as an ass-kicking machine. Ronda Rousey coming back and leapfrogging a lot of other women, it may be a little bit upsetting for the women there because obviously there's going to be a little opportunity being lost. But as far as fans go, there is absolutely no reason. Mike, welcome to the family. There is absolutely no reason for any of us to be upset that Ronda Rousey is back and she immediately goes right for the title. You know, she's a very unique person because you cannot compare her to other established wrestlers. But trust me, if you really want to play a little semantics here or get a little exaggerated, you know, you have your CM Punk returning, you have your Bryan Danielson showing up in AEW, and you have some other returns. You know, if you appreciate their work, and they're pretty damn good. Emily, welcome to the family. You know, if they're that good, you want to see them go right to the top. You know, if Ronda Rousey didn't do all that in the ring, and it was being pushed more for name recognition and anything else, then I am absolutely with everybody that, you know, has a problem with it. But for anybody out there to say that Ronda Rousey back in WWE hurts the women's division, that is just nuts. It's just nuts. If you really look at it, it's just absolutely nuts. Remember, there's two. This is why the title should never be unified. I've had, every couple of months, I get a flurry of the same question. When are they going to unify the Raw and the SmackDown titles? There should be one champion on both brands. It's moments like this that you appreciate that there's two women's championships, that there's two men's championships. Because if there was only one championship right now, Bobby Lashley would not be a champion right now. With Ronda Rousey returning, yeah, Charlotte or Becky would not be champion, but guess what? If Bianca gets the title shot at Mania and defeats Becky Lynch, which I believe is happening because Becky keeps reminding about the 3 years that she's champion and keeps bringing it up. The reason why that's done is not only for her to brag, and obviously it's a big feat, but whoever beats her, it's going to feel extremely important. Just like Roman Reigns. Whoever beats Roman Reigns after this long of a run, it's going to feel extremely important. Look, when I was a kid in 1978, when I was just, I didn't even understand wrestling at that time, when Bob Backlund was a champion, ended up being a champion for over 5 years. Trust me, no one thought the Iron Sheik was going to beat him. And when it happened, everybody was just in crazy as shock. When Hulk Hogan lost the championship, it felt like a lot of a shock. Now, you get 4 or 5 years of reign, you know, you get a little tired of it after a while. But whoever beats Becky Lynch, it's going to be extremely important. When you see Becky on Steve Austin's podcast, and Becky is talking about, you know, they were doing, you know, Steve Austin was throwing out names and she was just giving her reactions to it. And when it came to Bianca Belair, Becky said future. WWE is extremely high on Bianca Belair. If you look at the entire Raw women's roster, honestly, there is only one person on that Raw women's roster that should take the title off of Becky Lynch, and that is Bianca Belair. Period. There's nobody else. There's plenty of time for Liv Morgan. Doudrop, it could happen. She didn't do bad tonight, but I think it was pretty obvious who's going to win. You know, it's a lot of the women there. There's plenty of time. But for now, especially after what... Look, everybody that is a fan of AEW thought that there was some incredible storytelling with Hangman Page for 2 years, and I'm not criticizing that. But believe me, if Bianca Belair takes on Becky Lynch at WrestleMania, you have to admit that that storyline from the night she lost it at SummerSlam, people are going to look at that and say, that is long-term storytelling. Now, there's a lot of people like, I didn't want to wait that long for Bianca to get the title back. You'll have people that'll use that. They'll say, she should have never had to wait this long. But if she gets it and she gets it at Mania, it's all worth it. Now, if she doesn't get it at Mania, then obviously we have a whole different conversation to talk about. So, I love talking to you all. I don't talk at you. Michael Gonzalez is asking me right now, do I think Seth Rollins turned babyface tonight? I don't know how often you tune into the shows, but I have had arguments with viewers for the last 2 or 3 weeks about this. And I said, Seth Rollins is already a baby face. You know, he's a tweener. There's a lot of tweeners right now. Seth Rollins has been getting cheered by fans more. Look at Kevin Owens tonight. Kevin Owens is not a baby face, obviously, but when Kevin Owens got eliminated, fans were not happy. Seth Rollins has been over with the fans for a while, and this is just a little bit further. I think Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens may end up facing each other at WrestleMania. That might be a WrestleMania match as well. So Mike thinks that the ending of the Royal Rumble was awful. You have a right to your opinion. I disagree, because I look at the matches that are going to Mania, and I think it's pretty damn solid. So I have everybody's super chats on queue, so we will get into them in a few moments. Yeah, you know what? SRH John, yeah, I will bring this up now with what he is saying. Yeah, Mickey James getting that pop and holding up the Impact title. And WWE, look, that was negotiated, obviously. WWE putting in the graphic Impact Women's Champion. You know, that it was a nice moment for Mickey James. They didn't embarrass her. She got eliminated by Lita, and she did a lot in the ring. And if I could use one word about Mickey James tonight, that one word is closure. Will she return to WWE in the future? Yeah, I believe so. I think Mickey James will be in the WWE Hall of Fame sooner than you think. But this, I don't even want to say a wrong was righted, because remember, Mickey got her stuff shipped to her in garbage bags the first time she was in WWE. That's how they would always ship everybody's stuff. They would take the bags, they would take your items, put it in a trash bag, and then they would stick it in a box and ship it. You know, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, they got to put it in something. What do you think they're going to put? Some type of canvas bag with nice drawstrings? Or do you really want to rub it in and put it in a WWE duffel bag? That's how it's always been done. So Mickey James, you know, she took it personal, but she realized that it was not personal. So it's not a wrong being righted, but it was closure. It was closure that she got the return, got to celebrate, you know, where she's at, what she's doing, who she is. The fans acknowledged her big time, and it was a nice moment to see. Nothing about Mickey James's appearance tonight was negative. They didn't embarrass her. You know, obviously, you know, I don't think she would have been in the Royal Rumble if they said, okay, you're going to be eliminated in a minute or two. She probably would have said, you know what, I'm not even going to bother. So they did right. They were professional. Let's see. Let's see where it goes from here. I will say this. If WWE truly is open for business, we need to see something else go down in the next 6 months. Because if we look back 6 months from now, and the only interaction with another promotion is Mickey James showing up at the Rumble, then it's WWE with a lot of hot air. I think that's how we look at it. WWE versus AEW is not happening. All that clickbaiting, all that stuff, you know, it's not happening. Maybe for something for charity, that could always be possible. Let's get into the Rumble, because obviously we already talked a half an hour. And I know a lot of you want to go to sleep. So do I. I got a crazy day tomorrow. We had crazy snow here yesterday and this morning. I have not shoveled anything out yet. And I probably have to shovel my parents' house, because I ain't letting my dad with a heart condition shovel. So 44,390 tonight in St. Louis. And there's one thing I wish would have happened tonight. Obviously, it wasn't going to happen. But when the announcer announced on the air that the attendance tonight was 44,390, and he said, St. Louis, thank you. I said to myself, how awesome would it have been if the announcer would have taken a page from Chad Gable and said 44,390, St. Louis. Oh, thank you. Obviously, we weren't going to do that. But now whenever I say thank you to someone, you know, that I'm friends with, I wouldn't do it to my mom or a customer, but even my family. Hey, honey, could you hand me that? Oh, thank you. Chad Gable was great in the Royal Rumble tonight. He comes up with this master plan to eliminate Omos. Omos gets eliminated, and he's screaming out, I'm a genius. I'm a genius. Let's get into the Royal Rumble. Let's get right through it. Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns to open up WrestleMania. And I tell you, you know, to hear, I have it written down because I don't want to screw it up. When we used to hear the Shield's music, Sierra, Hotel, India, Echo, Lima, Delta, Shield. We hear it tonight, and sure enough, Seth Rollins going old school. You know, kind of made me think about Edge when Edge went old school not too long ago with the Brood entrance. And Seth Rollins coming out from the crowd wearing the Shield outfit, laughing his ass off, having a great time. The crowd freaking loved it. Even, I think it was Pat McAfee with a little reference to Mox. Yeah, everybody can, you know, show respect to people. You know, just because somebody works somewhere else doesn't mean you don't care about them anymore. Doesn't mean that they are evil. Of course, WWE, the machine, any wrestling company is competition, even if they're this big. But I loved seeing Seth Rollins coming out with the old Shield music, coming out from the crowd, wearing the Shield vest. What I didn't like was the end of the match. And we've talked about Damian Priest. You know, Damian Priest, with all these horrible DQs, you know, gets pissed off, gets disqualified, and they suck. They have hurt Damian Priest's momentum so far in 2022 so bad with those dumb, I can't keep my anger under control, I get disqualified. And it's working so great for Damian Priest. Let's do it in a championship match tonight. So we start the match off, Seth Rollins extremely over with the fans. Right off the bat, hitting a pair of tope suicidas on Roman Reigns. Rollins goes for a top rope move, but is knocked out by Roman Reigns. Almost looked like the phenomenal forearm attempt. And then Roman Reigns hits the drive-by boot, a la Undertaker. Seth Rollins almost immediately gets the upper hand and takes out Roman Reigns, does the Shield bomb through the table. And Rollins realizes it can't win the title by countouts. He immediately throws Roman Reigns back in the ring, hits the frog splash for a two count, then immediately proceeds with the buckle bomb and the curb stomp and gets a two and 99 one-hundredths. I don't think you get any closer to a three count. I think a lot of people for a moment thought that Seth Rollins was winning that title. Rollins laughing his ass off, you know, that he's so close to winning a championship and Roman still kicked out. We get a "This is awesome" chant really early on in the match. Roman Reigns gets the upper hand, starts trash-talking Seth Rollins, and this was the highlight of the match for me. Roman Reigns, as he's been doing for the last year. I mean, he started doing it with Jey Uso when there was no live crowd in attendance, and you heard in that cage every word that Roman Reigns said, and Roman is doing it tonight to Seth Rollins. He's trash-talking Seth Rollins, and Seth Rollins is looking at him like he's laughing his ass off, and it's rattling Roman Reigns. Because Rollins is laughing in his face. Rollins gets hit with a Superman punch, but kicks out at two. Roman Reigns, a little bit baffled. Rollins is in pain, but still laughing his ass off. Seth actually wants a Shield fist bump for Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns, like, hell are you talking about? And Rollins is holding, he's in pain, and he's like, come on, she's fist bump. Roman puts Rollins in the guillotine. Seth Rollins almost grabs the ropes, and look, let's get controversy number one out of the way. The referee checks to see if Rollins is going to answer. And I know people that want to use anything to criticize WWE did this, but I'm going to make a point right now. I don't have anything that looks like a ring rope, but what could we use as a prop? All right, this has coffee in it. This is not going to work. All right, this is a ring rope, okay? This is a ring rope. I know it's the Yowie Wowie jam. It's a ring rope, okay? Rollins is trying to grab the rope, and he starts getting a little limp. So Charles Robinson lifts his arm to see if he answers, and he lifts his arm. And when Charles Robinson lets go of Rollins' arm, it lands on the rope. And right away, people are criticizing, oh, the referee lift his hand and let him go and land on the rope. Well, Rollins grabbed the rope, and Rollins was already underneath the rope. So the referee did not help Seth Rollins put his hand on the rope. I think that's just people trying to find any reason to criticize. So Rollins ends up getting the upper hand. He counters the spear into a pedigree, which looked pretty damn cool. The crowd was into it, only for a two count. Crowd is chanting, this is awesome once again. So what ends up happening, and this sucked, Roman, as I said, puts the guillotine on Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins tries to go for the rope. Can't get it. Referee checking. He lands on a rope, grabs it. Referee wants the count broken. And we get the dumb Damian Priest finish. No, I'm not breaking the rope. I'm breaking. And the referee disqualifies Roman Reigns. What happened in championship matches where the referee will literally try to pull the other person's hand off the ropes? We get the cheap disqualification. The fans are booing the shit out of it. Roman sucks chance. Roman getting nuclear heat. Don't get me wrong. Roman's getting uber heat right now, but fans were pissed off at the DQ finish. Look, I guess it was done, if you want to say, to protect Seth Rollins, that Seth didn't get pinned clean. So maybe they revisit that down the line. I don't know. That's the only logic I can make out of it. They didn't want Seth Rollins to be pinned clean. So Roman Reigns gets disqualified, and to take attention off of this, instead of just walking out and that's it, Roman Reigns goes outside the ring, grabs a chair, and starts chair bashing Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins with the vest on, so it definitely absorbs a little bit of the blow, but he chair bashes Seth Rollins pretty good, dents the chair. Roman walks off, and Roman, you know, talking to himself, has his finger up as he's walking out, and crowd still booing, and we immediately go to a commercial. So Roman Reigns loses to Seth Rollins, but by disqualification. So Seth Rollins does not win the WWE Championship or the Universal Championship. So didn't we get like two or three videos tonight about Carmelo Hayes? Anybody notice that? Maybe one was on the pre-show, but I know we got at least two about Carmelo Hayes. I mean, look, we're all high on Carmelo Hayes, but I know he got at least two segments tonight hyping him up. So we get to the next match, and it's the Women's Royal Rumble. Now, we had 23 out of 30 participants previously announced. Rhea Ripley, Nikki Ash, Dana Brooke, Carmella, Queen Zelina, Tamina, Shotzi Blackheart, Natalya, Aaliyah, Naomi, Shayna Baszler, Charlotte Flair, The Bellas, Lita, Michelle McCool, Kelly, Summer Rae, Mickey James, Bianca Belair, Liv Morgan, Sasha Banks, and Sonya Deville. So that gave us seven surprises. So the seven surprises that we got tonight were obviously Ronda Rousey, which we talked about already, Ivory, which we talked about already, Melina, which we talked about already, Cameron, Alicia Fox, Molly Holly, Sarah Logan. I'll be honest with you. If I'm going to compare bell to bell for the Royal Rumble matches, I enjoyed the women's Royal Rumble match more than the men's. And you might remember last week and the week before, I said WWE did a better job hyping up the women's Royal Rumble match because almost every single person in that match had a foe. The Legends was a little bit different, but they had a foe. Every single person, and they created some tonight. Nikki Ash not happy with Mighty Molly. I'm the only superhero in the WWE. Yeah, you ain't wearing that crap here. We had Sonya Deville not happy with Cameron. Remember, Funk is on a roll. Remember the Funkadactyls? Sonya Deville trying to gain revenge on Naomi, especially for the loss yesterday. So Cameron shows up. That's Naomi's buddy. Sonya Deville's got to take care of that. Sarah Logan. Obviously, she had a child last year. Congrats to her. She shows up, you know, looking great. You know, little, you know, probably needs a little bit more of a suntan. Looked awfully, awfully pale. But nice little moment. Sarah Logan and Liv Morgan connecting eyes. Flashbacks of the Riot Squad. Very, very emotional. WWE only let that shit happen for about 3 seconds. I think it was Charlotte. It's like, you ain't having none of that. But it was nice to see that moment. Ivory, obviously, she's against the entire women's roster. She actually did what I thought was going to happen to Eva Marie. I thought Eva Marie was going to be in this match, and I thought when Eva Marie entered the match, you might remember when we talked about it, I thought Eva Marie would turn around and have the entire women's battle royal, the Royal Rumble, against her, and she just gets eliminated immediately. So Ivory pretty much, I think, did what we thought was going to happen with Eva Marie. Alicia Fox appearing, she did more than what I expected her to do. She looks great. I like Alicia Fox. I always have. I mean, early in the career, I think because of, you know, what was happening inside the ring, but, you know, she's had her battles outside the ring, so we root for Alicia Fox. And we talked about, obviously, Ivory earlier, and Melina, and Ronda Rousey, so let me get into the Royal Rumble match pretty quickly. So the first two participants in the match were Sasha Banks and Melina. And one and two, Melina extremely emotional. And both of them pointing to WrestleMania, signed for a moment. And next thing you know, within 10 seconds, Melina is eliminated. I think she might have inadvertently slipped. Oh, we will talk about the Kofi Kingston debacle tonight. Because out of the entire night, Kofi Kingston's debacle, I don't think it was designed the way it went down. We'll talk about that. So Melina gets eliminated. She's on the floor. She was already emotional inside the ring. She's even more emotional outside the ring. Sasha Banks, to basically try to be in character, is mocking Melina with the split. Melina does her own split, and that's it. Melina's out of the Royal Rumble. Next in the match was Tamina, and then Kelly Kelly. And when I get into numerous people in at the same time, it just means that nothing eventful went on between each edition. So Tamina was next, then Kelly Kelly. Kelly Kelly goes at it with Tamina for a little bit while Sasha Banks just hangs out in the corner. Because remember, Sasha Banks is not 100%. And if you looked at her in-ring work closely, you know, they were being a little bit careful with her. Don't want to re-injure anything. So Kelly Kelly, how she gets eliminated, she puts her infamous leg lock to Sasha Banks upside down, but she does it hang upside down outside the ring rope. So what ends up happening? Sasha Banks just like pushes her and she falls on the floor and Kelly Kelly is eliminated. That was pretty quick. Aaliyah is in next. Aaliyah went for a while in that match. Sasha Banks going at it with Aaliyah a little bit. Liv Morgan is in next. Liv and Sasha doing some very, very messy shit. I don't know what the hell they were trying to do. If you go back and you watch when Liv Morgan first entered the match, her and Sasha were not in sync at all. So Tamina breaks that up. Sasha hits the Three Amigos to Liv Morgan. Queen Zelina is in next. Oh, my God. Queen Zelina eliminates Sasha Banks. And, you know, you had to see the net. This is why I hate WWE. This is why WWE sucks. Is that Sasha's not 100%. I know, look, if anybody that's going to say they should not have used Sasha at all, I can understand why some would say that, but I'd rather see Sasha for a little bit than not at all. Just my opinion. Who knows? Maybe we get Bayley and Sasha Banks reforming a tag team. Maybe they end up beating Queen Zelina and Carmella for the women's tag team championships. Just something I'm thinking outside the box. Not saying it's going to happen. So Zelina eliminates Sasha Banks. Bianca Belair is in next. Then Dana Brooke. Then Michelle McCool. Dana Brooke almost eliminated, but Reggie catches her. So Dana Brooke is still in the match. But a few moments later, Michelle McCool does eliminate Dana Brooke. So Dana Brooke is out of the match. Sonya Deville is next. And she is not ready to be in the ring because she's there for one reason or only, and that's to do something against Naomi. So she's on the commentator's table. She's doing a little commentating for a little while. Natty is in next. Natty tries to eliminate Bianca Belair, but inadvertently eliminates Tamina, so we may see something there. I don't know, because one's on Raw, one's on SmackDown. Bianca Belair's still in the match. Cameron comes out next. You know, not much of a reaction. She's been gone for a while, and, you know, she's hasn't been as well-received outside of WWE since she's been gone. But the storyline with Cameron being in the Royal Rumble is, hey, that's Naomi's former buddy and tag team partner. You know, former Funkadactyl. So, basically, Sonya Deville decides, okay, now it's time for me to hit the ring. She goes at it with Cameron, and she eliminates Cameron in about 30 seconds. Naomi is next to come out. Naomi looks pissed off. She checks on Cameron for a second. Then she hits the ring, and wouldn't you know it, Sonya Deville gets eliminated by Naomi once again. So two nights in a row, so Naomi is on top. Carmella and then Rhea Ripley come in next. Queen Zelina and Carmella are double-teaming Rhea Ripley. Natty joins in on the beatdown. Rhea, with a double dropkick, eliminating Carmella and Zelina at the same time, looked pretty impressive. Charlotte Flair is in next. She eliminates Aaliyah. She tries to eliminate Naomi. And Naomi's legs are still in the ring. But Sonya Deville, who was just eliminated, who was outside the ring still, Sonya just pulls Naomi off of the mat. Naomi hits the floor. Naomi's eliminated. Shouldn't have been accepted, but since Sonya Deville is authority, Adam Pearce was probably having an ice cream because Adam Pearce, you know, they can come out and do anything about it. Ivory comes out next, and I loved it because, you know, I was obviously a fan during the Attitude Era and the Right to Censor. She is on the mic, and she sees nothing but wayward, lost little girls, and she's not happy what she sees in WWE, and she enters the ring. Rhea Ripley grabs her, and she's screaming in the microphone, "Don't touch me! Don't touch me!" So look, Ivory's 60 years old. She can't take bumps like she used to. You know, as much as somebody looks good, the bones do get fragile. You know, you do get weaker. That's why people get really worried when you see Sting doing some of the splashes and the moves that he does. He might feel good enough to do it, but your bones, as you get older, do get fragile. Now, I'm sure Sting has had bone density scans, and I'm sure, you know, there's a lot of testing done to see that it's still strong. But when you get older, you know, a little fall, you could end up breaking your hip. So Rhea Ripley, like, kind of like very easy, puts Ivory over the top rope. Rhea knocks her off, and she just, like, lands feet first on the floor. How dare you? How dare you do that to me? But God bless Ivory, 60 years old. I know this sounds a little, well, no, I'm not going to say it. I wonder how many of you out there. All right, let me be a pervert for a minute. Any of you would hit that? I'm just curious. I don't think any of you would be really admit to that question, but she's that. Let me say it like this. If I want to just be, you know, she's doable still, I think, for some people out there. So she looks good. She looks good. She looks great. Like 20, 30 people right now, like, oh my God, I can't believe you said that. Brie Bella comes in next, and she does the yes chance. Crowd is loving it. It's okay, WWE. People are not going to tune into AEW simply because of a yes chant. Mickey James comes out next with the Impact Championship. She, you know, it was a little weird because when she came out and she's holding that title, she's like, I'm going to go on to WrestleMania and defend this title. It's the opposite, actually, but she looked good. I mean, look, we've seen her in Impact. We've seen her in NWA. We've seen her quite a bit lately, so it's not like we don't know what she looks like. But Mickey James hits the ring. Immediately, Michelle McCool and Mickey James are going at it. Michelle McCool eliminated by Mickey James, which was interesting. Alicia Fox is in next, then Nikki Ash. Rhea Ripley looking down the rampway, waiting for Nikki Ash. Nikki Ash comes from the announcer's table, and right away we're all thinking, oh my God, she's going to pull Rhea from behind and just throw her over. Thank God that didn't happen. She attacks Rhea Ripley. And then Rhea Ripley turns around, and I could have sworn Rhea Ripley said, she said, you have nowhere to run, you little twat. I don't think she said twit. It sounded like she said twat. Nikki gets out of Dodge from under the bottom rope, so she's not eliminated. Charlotte and Rhea Ripley go at it. Summer Rae is in next. She goes at it with Natty. Summer Rae lays out Natty just to be laid out by Charlotte. And then Natty eliminates Summer Rae. Summer Rae in and out in about 2 minutes. Nikki Bella is in next. Alicia, who is outside the ring, she's about to get back in, and the Bellas are right next to her, and she wants a Team Bella fist pump. Remember, she was part of the Bella army back in the day. So the Bellas eliminate her. So she is out. Sarah Logan is in next. She shares a nice smile with Liv Morgan, which was really, really cool. That I thought was a great moment. But they both end up getting laid out. I think I said Charlotte earlier. It was actually the Bellas that did that. Liv Morgan is pissed off, but Liv Morgan is eliminated by both Bellas, and they were showered with booze. Liv Morgan ends up being in a match for 37 minutes. Lita is in next, and I got a kick out of the older, chubby like me, bald, middle-aged guys. I guess they're all getting heat with Summer Rae last week. When Lita came out, they panned the crowd, and you saw a bunch of them going like, I thought it was cool. Very, very loud Lita chants. Lita with a DDT on Mickey James. Lita eliminates Mickey James. Mickey James just fell out of the ring. You know, it was a little bit uneventful. The crowd was not that happy about it. But, you know, Mickey James put on a good performance. Nothing to be embarrassed about. Getting eliminated by Lita, I think Mickey is perfectly cool with that. But unfortunately, a lot of people that thought Lita was going to get that WrestleMania one last run, you know, we've talked about that before. I didn't think that that was happening. Look, Lita could get a last run after WrestleMania, but right now, you know, I just Never saw it happen. We've talked about it, but I think Lita, if she still has enough in the tank, WWE will do something with Lita. Believe me, we heard the rumors that Lita, there was interest in AEW. Believe me, if Lita turned down AEW to do something with WWE, if the Royal Rumble is it, what's stopping Lita to go to AEW now and do a little program with Britt Baker? So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Lita in the ring, you know, over the next 2-3 months. I wouldn't say before WrestleMania. It's possible. But if we don't see anything from Lita in the ring by WrestleMania, if it doesn't happen immediately after, if I was her, go to AEW, do something. There's only so many years left, especially when you get into your 40s. She's got to do something. Or she really doesn't have enough in the tank for one last run. You know, this might have been, you know, her breaking point. You know, like, this is her max. We don't know. Only time will tell. So Molly Holly's in next. Nikki Ash not happy with it. Throws Molly's cape outside the ring, then eliminates her. Crowd is not happy. Ronda Rousey now enters at number 28. Ronda goes at it with Nikki Ash. Almost eliminated Nikki. Brie stops it. But it's not Nikki Ash. Nikki Bella. She goes at it with Nikki Ash first, then Nikki Bella. Brie goes at it. And we get a little moment where we have Nikki Bella outside the ring. Ronda Rousey almost eliminates Nikki Bella, but Brie takes it upon herself to eliminate her own sister. So the bell is sticking around. I don't think that is happening. Shotzi Blackheart is number 29. Number 29, because Shayna Baszler is number 30. Ronda eliminates Brie Bella. Ronda goes at it with Rhea Ripley. Shayna Baszler is in next, and Shayna and Ronda, little smiles early on. They teased that they were actually going to go at it a little bit inside the ring, but Charlotte stops that. Ronda then eliminates Shotzi Blackheart. Bianca Belair eliminates Natty. Ronda Rousey tries to eliminate Bianca Belair. No success. Natty, who was just eliminated, enters the ring again and tries to eliminate Ronda Rousey, so Ronda tosses over the top rope again, just for the hell of it. And as one of the announcers said, Natty may actually have a new Guinness World Record getting eliminated in the Royal Rumble twice. Don't be surprised if Natty starts making that claim. So now it's down to Rhea Ripley, Lita, Ronda Rousey, Charlotte, Bianca Belair, and Shayna Baszler. Lita lays out Rhea Ripley. She teases the moonsault, but Charlotte almost immediately eliminates Lita. Crowd is not happy. We're down to 5. Ronda Rousey puts the triangle choke onto Rhea Ripley. Rhea throws Ronda Rousey into the ring post, and Ronda's laid out for a little while. So we forget about Ronda Rousey for a little bit. Charlotte Flair eliminates Rhea Ripley. We're down to 4. Charlotte, Shayna Baszler, Bianca Belair, and Ronda Rousey. Shayna Baszler attempts to Karafuta clutch on Bianca twice. Bianca breaks out. Charlotte eliminates Bianca Belair and Shayna Baszler, and we're now down to 2. They go at it for a very, very short amount of time. Ronda Rousey eliminates Charlotte Flair. Ronda Rousey wins. She is going on to WrestleMania. Dave Meltzer reported earlier today that it is going to be Charlotte versus Ronda at WrestleMania. That's the match that we've been talking about for a little while. And again, I know a lot of people want to see Ronda versus Becky. I disagree. I think people in the end will love to see Ronda kick Charlotte's ass and Bianca kick Becky's ass. That is your go-to main event matches at WrestleMania, in my opinion. So I enjoyed the Women's Royal Rumble match, with the exception of the last 5 participants in the Men's Royal Rumble match and what went down during those 5. The women's match was a lot more enjoyable for yours truly. So now we come down a little bit. Becky Lynch beating Doudrop with the manhandle slam. The match was okay. I mean, there was no doubt who was going to win this match. Doudrop got a decent amount of offense in to show that she could actually hang. I mean, she is a lot more experienced in the ring than somebody like Liv Morgan, which we talked about before. But this was just a match to bring everybody down a little bit. And with the unfortunate fire to the WrestleMania sign, everybody was preoccupied. You know, look, that thing lights up. You know, I mean, look, I'm not trying to be, you know, dramatic here, but, you know, anything can happen. When you're talking about pyro fires, you know, I'm sure those buildings are equipped with Ansel systems and everything else. You know, there's a lot of fire protective suppression systems in there. But still, you're in a building and you smell shit melting and you look up and you see things, you know, coming down. You see actual fire. And in the video screen, it may look tiny. But, you know, that's a little bit more serious than you think. So, you know, unfortunately, all the attention was on the sign. And this match, you know, if we look, when we get to the end, we're talking about favorite match and least favorite match. This probably was my least favorite match of the night. But I think most of us probably felt that way even before the match went down. So that was your match. Now, you know, we're already up to the heavyweight title. And look, I saw everybody saying it. We thought Brock and Bobby Lashley was going to close out Royal Rumble. It didn't. It actually was the third match of the night. Charlie, yeah, you're going to have to rewind this show. I showed video of it earlier. This match goes on third. And now everybody's like, holy shit, Brock Lesnar is going to be in the Royal Rumble match. Why are they having this match so early? Give Brock a little bit of rest and a little bit of time to prepare to be in the match again. A lot of you said that. A lot of you said that. This match was pretty good. The ending was very interesting because with Paul Heyman, it could have gone either way. You might remember when Paul Heyman took the Superman punch. Remember I said when we compared it to like Bully Ray with the aces and 0.8s that sometimes you got to take one for the team to show your loyalty. And, you know, either Paul Heyman was going to be alongside Brock Lesnar going into WrestleMania, or Paul Heyman was going to turn on Brock Lesnar to show his loyalty, to prove his loyalty to Roman Reigns. And that's what we got tonight. Early on in the match, Brock and Bobby Lashley are trading suplexes. Brock is a little amused. Remember the storyline that we talked about on Monday? Brock Lesnar was not going to take Bobby Lashley seriously. When Brock comes out on Raw, first thing Brock is going to say out of his mouth is that he underestimated Bobby Lashley, and he's going to give a lot of respect, a lot of props to Bobby Lashley. And remember, Bobby Lashley, they're pitting him to be a babyface. We pointed it out on Monday. Bobby Lashley slapping hands with fans. When he left tonight, you would think Bobby Lashley kind of was a heel, accepting what he got from Roman Reigns. The assistance was not against it, didn't attack Roman or anything like that. After Bobby Lashley left the match, he's slapping hands again with fans. So early on, Brock not taking Bobby Lashley all that seriously. Bobby Lashley escapes the F5 and hits two spears on Bobby Lashley, on Brock Lesnar. Basically, Brock landed a suplex. Bobby landed a suplex. Brock hits two suplexes. Bobby Lashley hits two spears. Back and forth, back and forth. Brock rolls outside. Bobby Lashley attempts a spear. Brock moves out of the way. Bobby Lashley spears the barricade. And a lot of you noticed it. My fiance, who does, she's not one to critique during matches. She even said to me, she's like, wow, Bobby Lashley got in the ring awfully quick. I said, well, he's got to answer the 10 count. But Bobby Lashley went from looking dead, going through the barricade, to inside the ring. So the match continues. Brock now has the upper hand. Bobby Lashley bleeding from the mouth a little bit. German suplex by Brock Lesnar. Attempts another, but Bobby Lashley gets him in a hurt lock. Teasing that Brock may actually tap out or pass out doesn't happen. Brock gets the upper hand. Ends up trying to hit an F5 onto Bobby Lashley, but the referee gets clipped. So the referee is incapacitated. We thought the Usos were going to get involved. The Usos were banned from Roman Reigns' match, but they were not banned with Brock. So obviously, with Roman interfering, now the storyline makes sense. Roman Reigns interferes, attacks Brock Lesnar, hits a spear. Then there's a stare down with Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman is outside the ring holding Brock Lesnar's title. They're just looking at each other. Roman sticks out his hand. Paul Heyman gives him the championship. And you go back and watch it again. Listen to the crowd as Paul Heyman hands the title. The crowd's like, holy shit. Like, as he's moving his hands, the crowd is just getting louder and louder. And they're like, holy shit. He's actually going to screw Brock. So Roman takes the belt. Belt shot by Roman. And MVP is like, pin him, pin him. Referee counts to three. Bobby Lashley is your new WWE champion. And Paul Heyman walks out. And he leaves with Roman Reigns. Yes, we are back. I proved my loyalty. I took one for the team to show my loyalty for my tribal chief. Paul Heyman is now with Roman Reigns once again. And guess what? Brock Lesnar, some people, I still lean a little bit more when Brock Lesnar was in his first WWE run, right before he left to play football with the Minnesota Vikings. He got into that charismatic element that we had never seen before. And sure, what he had with Goldberg was cacas, but at WrestleMania. But Brock Lesnar now has shown he doesn't need Paul Heyman as a mic piece anymore. Brock Lesnar, look, there's a lot of reasons why Brock Lesnar. I mean, we're getting him almost every week on TV. I mean, this is what happens. You know, when we talk about budget and budget cuts, you know, it's not money problems with WWE. It's if we're going to spend $50 million on payroll, then what we'll do is we'll get Brock to work twice as many dates. We'll pay him a lot more money and we'll release a couple of talents that we don't really use all that much to offset it. I know it sounds kind of messed up and it is, but it's just like you with your expenses at home. Hey, I usually put this money aside to play, you know, video games. Well, you know, I'll take a little of that money away and now I could actually do this instead. So Brock looks invigorated. I mean, he is doing an outstanding job right now. A lot of people out there feel that this is their favorite version of Brock Lesnar ever. So Bobby Lashley gets that significant win over Brock Lesnar. That will be reminded to us for years to come. So now, when I said the storyline now makes sense, instead of having the Usos interfere, Roman Reigns interferes. Paul Heyman helps Roman Reigns interfere. Paul Heyman turns on Brock. Roman Reigns screws Brock. Now Brock wants revenge. I'm not waiting for Elimination Chamber. I want a spot in the Royal Rumble tonight. And that's what ended up happening. We will get to that soon. Let's first talk about this match. How long are we going? Hour and 10? Right, we'll be done in about 15 minutes. This match was mostly Gaga. Entertaining, nonetheless. But I think it was very, very predictable. We even joked on Monday that Beth Phoenix will get her moment with a lot of offense in on The Miz. But we won't see The Miz with offense on Beth. Okay, fine, whatever. So we get a back and forth match for a little while. Maryse with the loaded purse, but only for a two count. Beth tries to pin Maryse early on in the match. Miz breaks up the pin, so Beth Phoenix is pissed off at Miz. And Miz is like, you want me? You want me? And he's turning to the crowd. The crowd is getting into it more. Miz is laughing. Beth is not. Beth with nonstop forearms and kicks to the Miz. Referee tells Miz to get out of the ring because the women fight the women, the men fight the men. Maryse ends up with the upper hand, puts the camel clutch on Beth Phoenix. We get a very, very light powerbomb by Edge onto the Miz. Little lackluster. Flying elbow by Edge for a two count. Maryse then throws Beth Phoenix into the ring steps. Maryse with a huacanrana to Edge. And even Maryse looks surprised. He's like, holy shit. Did I just do that? Miz with the skull-crushing finale only for a two count. He looks baffled. Miz and Maryse attempt to both hit the skull-crushing finale. Beth Phoenix stops it. We then get a double spear by Beth Phoenix and Edge on Miz. Edge grabs Miz. Beth Phoenix grabs Maryse. And they both hit synchronized glamazon slams for the win. So Edge and Beth Phoenix are your winners. It was a fun little match. It did what it needed to do. Now we move on. Who is Edge's opponent at WrestleMania? You know, a lot of us have talked about AJ Styles. I think that would be pretty interesting. Could happen. We will see. So now we get to the men's Royal Rumble match. Now, again, for those super chats earlier and a couple of questions in the chat, I have you all on cue, so we will answer them right after this, and then we will call it. I shout out to everybody who is live. Hey, if you're enjoying the show, you know, it does help. Take a moment and hit that thumbs up. I'd like to see that thumbs up surpass 200 before we get out of here. So Michael Gonzalez says, AJ Styles or Kevin Owens? I would prefer against Edge. Boy, I you know what? I think Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins may end up being a match at Mania. I think we may have some falling out. I think Kevin Owens will turn on Seth Rollins. I think Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens is a likely possibility. So I would go with AJ Styles versus Edge. You don't know what a bone density scan is, Charlie? Google it. We all have to get it when we get older. Believe me. So just checking out some feedback. Look, Beth Phoenix looked great. It looked great. This was a moment that they never had teaming up together. I think this was on their bucket list. I think WWE promised Edge and Beth Phoenix that you will get a mixed tag match down the line. And tonight they got it. So it was nice to see. You know, now I think the storyline needs to end. Where you go with Maryse right now, I have no idea. She's not going to be a regular on the women's roster. So does she leave again for a while? It kind of seems that way. So Moose versus Lashley would be a fun match. In impact. Nothing against Moose, but there's no reason why Moose would show up on WWE TV to challenge Lashley. So, look, back when I was a kid, we had some interaction with different promotions. I brought up before, we had Ric Flair, who's the NWA champion, taking on Bob Backlund, who was the WWF champion. We had Harley Race versus Backlund. We had, I think we had Bockwinkel versus Backlund. I think so. I don't really remember that one. But, yeah, I could see Lashley making an appearance in Impact Wrestling. He's got a history there. So he shows up, and they tease, you know, a title match or something, and it ends up in a no contest. That's how it usually ends up happening. It's usually no contest, although I think Harley Race may have been counted out or he got disqualified. Usually neither promotion wants their champion to lose, you know, just for bragging rights. So, Andrew, who do I think Lashley is going to face? And man, I've been saying it for about 2 months. Big E. I think WWE is going to do to Big E what they're going to do with Bianca Belair. Obviously, they had to call a lot of audibles. Big E was a professional about it. He didn't bitch, didn't do any subliminal cryptic tweets about it. He has been a professional in interviews. And WWE, I really believe, you know, told Big E, you know, just look, we had to make some changes with everything going on. You'll get it. Just be patient. I think Big E versus Bobby Lashley is going to be the match. And I think MVP may end up splitting with Bobby Lashley. I know a lot of us don't want that. I don't want that. But I can't see MVP, you know, still remaining in Bobby Lashley's corner, especially with Bobby Lashley slapping hands with the fans. Anything's possible, but I'm not so sure about that. Yeah, we'll get to the Royal Rumble match. But I want to just say one thing about Big E being traded to SmackDown. I know that was a lot of buzz, Vulture, and I know a lot of people use that as talking points and clickbait, you know, to rant about it. This is what I have to say about Big E being drafted to SmackDown and why I don't believe it hurts his possibility of taking on Bobby Lashley. I'll tell you why. People forget. Big E was on SmackDown. Big E won Money in the Bank. Big E cashed in Money in the Bank and became WWE champion. Big E was on SmackDown. That's how he got to Raw. I think a lot of people, they don't think before they put stuff together. I mean, look, obviously WWE is very forgetful at times. I'm not criticizing anybody, but Big E was on SmackDown when he won the briefcase. When he won the WWE championship, that's how he went to Raw. Him going to SmackDown right now is to help Kofi Kingston because Xavier Woods is out with the calf injury. So Big E helps Kofi. Kofi is stuck in the mud right now because of them putting him up against Corbin and Moss. So Big E is taking the place of Xavier Woods for the time being. By WrestleMania time, I think Xavier Woods should be back. So if Big E wins Elimination Chamber and challenges Bobby Lashley, that's how, basically what you've done is you got Big E on SmackDown, taking the place of Xavier Woods for a little while, helping Kofi. Then, when you get close to WrestleMania, Big E goes back to Raw and maybe regains the WWE Championship. And then by that time, Xavier is ready to return and Xavier could go back to pair him with Kofi. You're very welcome, everyone out there. Trust me, I always, instead of me just jumping the gun and just complain about something, I always try to like go one step in and say, okay, why did they do this with Big E? And then you look back a little bit, and then you see the, and then you say, okay, it kind of makes sense. So, all right, so let's get to this main event, this Royal Rumble match. And before the match started, they announced 25 of the 30 participants. And the 25 participants that had already been announced was Angelo Dawkins, Montez Ford, Rey Mysterio, Dominic Mysterio, Austin Theory, Sheamus, Johnny Knoxville, Damian Priest, AJ Styles, Big E, Happy Corbin, Madcap Moss, Sami Zayn, Kofi Kingston, Xavier Woods, Omos, Randy Orton, Riddle, Chad Gable, Otis, Dolph Ziggler, Robert Roode, Shinsuke Nakamura, Rick Boogs, and Ricochet. Now, this is very important. And of anything I say about this main event, this is probably the most important thing I could say to set this up. They had announced 25 of the 30 participants. You already knew the 25 going in. Of that first 25, who was your favorite? Most people said AJ Styles. Some people thought maybe Omos could pull it out. But that's why when I went on Twitter, I said this Men's Royal Rumble will come down to the last five participants. We had 25 announced. Five were not announced. Those five would be the more important names in the match, with some surprises included. And those surprises, we didn't get Elias, which I got to be honest with you, is a little bit disappointing. We didn't get Elias. But for the surprises, we had Drew McIntyre, which was excellent because we thought Drew McIntyre, we talked about Drew McIntyre being back by WrestleMania, but, you know, we didn't think he'd be back by the Royal Rumble. In fact, I think Drew will probably do interviews and say, I had no idea he'd be back this quick. So Drew McIntyre was a surprise. Brock Lesnar going into the Royal Rumble after losing the championship early and getting screwed by Roman. Now we got to find out who pulled the strings to let Brock in that match. So we'll probably see an Adam Pearce segment on Monday. So that's two. Shane McMahon is three. Number four was Bad Bunny. Who was number five? I'm looking back on my list to see who was number five. But we'll get to it. But Bad Bunny makes an appearance. Now, look, I got to give props to anybody who asked me in the last 2 weeks, you think Bad Bunny will appear? I mean, he's about to be on this promotional tour. And, you know, we heard Bad Bunny was in St. Louis, and I thought backstage segment with Damian Priest at the most. I had no idea that Bad Bunny was going to be in this match. And honestly, if you go back and you watch it, it was interesting. It was a little bit bizarre because the fans got into Bad Bunny because he put on some moves tonight, not just the Canadian Destroyer. He did a few other things that I got to be honest, I was extremely impressed. I mean, he looks like he's been doing this for a while. It is amazing because it's not only him executing the moves, but he actually knows where he is in the ring. He doesn't look lost. It's not like, okay, I hit this move on this person, I hit this move on this person. He took a couple of bumps as well. But Bad Bunny got booed for some eliminations as well. All right. Ridge Holland. Was Ridge Holland the other one? Okay. All right. So anyway, let's get into the match because there's a few things I definitely want to talk about in this match. Now, for the first two-thirds of the match, anybody out there that said this was very, very boring, very uneventful, with the exception of a couple eliminations, I am in 100% agreement with you. We already knew the first 25. So nothing really stuck out where you're like, oh my God, I can't wait to see this person versus this person. They really did not focus on legends. We didn't get Kevin Nash. We didn't get Jeff Jarrett. We didn't get RVD. We didn't get any Hall of Famers, you know, as surprises. We got what we got. Shane McMahon was a pleasant surprise, but as we talked about on Thursday, Thursday, that Shane McMahon, there may be something brewing for WrestleMania or Saudi Arabia. So there's something, there's more with the Shane McMahon. In fact, I'd like to see Shane McMahon in Austin Theory. I'd like to see Shane McMahon, you know, involved in this some way. I know some people like, oh, believe me, I think it'd be better than you think. All right, so the opening of the Men's Royal Rumble match, AJ Styles is number one, and when he was on the rampway, he did the Shawn Michaels pose as a little message like, hey, I'm going to go to distance like HBK did. Shinsuke Nakamura, number two. AJ and Shinsuke in the ring, you know you're going to have some fun, but nothing really eventful went down. Austin Theory is third. Robert Roode is fourth. Little TNA chant. When AJ Styles and Robert Roode were going at it a little bit, AJ Styles eliminates Robert Roode almost immediately. Ridge Holland, number five, nothing really eventful so far. AJ Styles eliminates Shinsuke Nakamura, which was a little bit of a surprise. But, you know, they're going a little slow on Shinsuke's return. He's had that hand injury for a while. You know, he just got cleared in about a week ago. So, you know, when you get cleared, I mean, he's been rehabbing, but you still, you know, you in the ring, you got to make sure that everything is close to 100%. You don't want to injure your opponent. So AJ eliminates Shinsuke Nakamura. Montez Ford is number 6. Damian Priest is number 7. Sami Zayn is number 8. And the crowd is serenading Sami Zayn a little bit. Johnny Knoxville, number 9. I got to be honest with you. I mean, I was never this gigantic fan of Jackass, but I got to give some credit to Johnny Knoxville. Johnny Knoxville did not embarrass himself. Yeah, he was going to dress a little bit goofy because of Jackass. I mean, you look how they usually dress in those things. I mean, they look ridiculous. It's designed for that. No, we did not get Veer. I honestly thought we were going to get Veer in the Royal Rumble. But if you remember the conversation I had with Mish on Monday, the big concern was, remember what I said, if Veer showed up at the Royal Rumble and got no reaction, you know what I mean? Like, even if they tried to pipe it in, if you look around and the crowd is dead, you know, after all this teasing and the trolling that WWE's done online with Veer is on his way, after all of that, if he gets no reaction, that is damaging. We did not get Veer tonight. So Johnny Knoxville comes out. Johnny Knoxville ends up in the center of the ring with AJ Styles. AJ Styles is telling Johnny Knoxville to lay one in on him. I swear to God, if you go back and you look at it, it looked like Johnny Knoxville legitimately laid a fucking forearm. I mean, a real hard forearm to AJ Styles. I mean, it looked like it connected. AJ Styles immediately back with a flurry on Knoxville. He took it all. He got laid out. Montez Ford hits the frog splash. Seemed like it was a little bit lower on Knoxville, more in the leg area. And then Sami Zayn with a haluva kick eliminates Johnny Knoxville. Yeah, Raph man, I'm with you. I'm with you. I mean, that forearm looked pretty stiff. You go back and you watch it. It was like, oh, okay. AJ Styles, boom, 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 boom. Knoxville is on his ass. Knoxville earned his pay. I had no complaints with Johnny Knoxville in the Rumble tonight. And Knoxville, over with the fans, man. Over with the fans. Did a good job. Did a good job. Not too much, not too little. So, Sammy eliminates Johnny Knoxville just to be eliminated by AJ Styles almost immediately after, so they're both gone. Angelo Dawkins comes in at 10. Omos comes in at 11. Omos immediately eliminates Angelo Dawkins. Then he eliminates Montez Ford. Omos tosses AJ Styles in the bottom of the ring post, and AJ Styles exits the ring for a little bit of a breather. Ricochet comes in at number 12. Omos goes at it. Ricochet goes at it with Omos. Ricochet and Austin Theory start trying to double-team Omos with no success whatsoever. Omos with an insane chop to Ricochet. I mean, I know if anybody watched that Royal Rumble, that chop that Omos hit Ricochet with, we even felt that at home. He connected pretty good, pretty good. Chad Gable at number 13, and Chad trying to get it. I got a plan. I got a plan. Everybody, this we got to do this. The whole thing was designed to get Omos out of the ring. They push Damian Priest into Omos first. Omos lays him out with a clothesline. And it was funny because as soon as Omos clotheslined Damian Priest, what's up, Aphrodite? As soon as Omos hit Damian Priest with the clothesline, you hear Austin Theory say, what do we do now? What do we do now? I laughed. I legitimately laughed out loud. So Omos eliminates Damian Priest. Very uneventful. Fact, I wonder if we're going to see Damian Priest versus Omos. I have a feeling we will, believe it or not. I just get this gut feeling we are. Dominic Mysterio is in at number 14. At this point, everybody's trying to eliminate Omos. They're all trying to pull him off over the rope. So AJ Styles runs across the ring and to get momentum, runs back and dives onto the pack. And with that momentum, they toss Omos over the top rope. And as soon as that happens, Chad Gable, I'm a genius. I'm a genius. Okay, thank you. Happy Corbin is in at number 15. Ricochet tries to eliminate Corbin. Corbin gets out of Dodge. Ricochet eliminates himself pretty much. Well, Dolph Ziggler at number 16, and they pointed it out that this is now Dolph Ziggler's 15th Royal Rumble. He is second only to Kane. Happy Corbin eliminates Dominic Mysterio. Sheamus is in at number 17. Rich Holland, very, very quiet, not only in the ring, but very quiet amongst the fans. He is eliminated by AJ Styles right at the feet of Sheamus. Don't worry, fella. I'll take care of it, fella. Rick Boogs in at number 18. And Boogs, the strength is uncanny, everybody. I mean, I know Chad Gable is lighter than a lot of other wrestlers, but he actually is doing a one-handed military press in the ring, the Chad Gable. One hand. He eliminates Chad Gable. We're already up to 19, everybody. Madcap Moss comes in at number 19. Moss and Corbin double team eliminate and eliminate AJ Styles. Crowd can't believe it. AJ Styles officially in at 29 minutes and 5 seconds, so AJ Styles is out of there. Riddle is in at number 20. Corbin eliminates Rick Boogs. Drew McIntyre, big surprise, comes in at number 21. Corbin and Moss look extremely worried. Corbin throws Riddle into Drew McIntyre just to be clotheslined. Riddle throws Ziggler into McIntyre just to be clotheslined. Drew eliminates Corbin and Moss. Then he goes outside the ring and just beats the balls off of both. Ring steps, power moves outside the ring. Number 22 comes in, and it's Kevin Owens. Drew McIntyre runs after Kevin Owens, and they start brawling outside the ring. He gets back in the ring, and Owens with a pop-up powerbomb onto Drew McIntyre. Cannonball to Dolph Ziggler. Owens, to try to get the upper hand on Riddle, just does what any of us would do. He stepped on Riddle's feet. You think about it. Anytime you're in a match with Riddle, step on his feet. Looks like a bad cartoon. Rey Mysterio in at number 23. Kofi at 24. And it's time to stop the outrageous, incredible stunts of Kofi Kingston. Because every year, they feel like they have to top the year before. You know, Kofi gets knocked out of the ring. He lands on a commentator's chair, and he's hopping on the chair. We've seen it for years. He gets eliminated, but he lands on something. His feet never touch the ground. He lands as a handstand, and he's walking. I mean, don't get me wrong. Kofi is a freak of nature. I couldn't do that in a pool. I mean, what he does is insane. Tonight was the first time it backfired. He enters the ring. Kevin Owens knocks him off the ring. And I guess he was supposed to land on the padding right by the fans, but land like on his chest area. You look at it and you say to yourself, there's no way this ends good. He could have landed on, broke his jaw on the padding. He could have landed on his chest. It's flat as it is already. He lands awkwardly on the padding, and his feet hit the floor. So that's it. Kofi's in the ring for about 10 seconds. It was not good. It was not good. Look, all the years that Kofi has done crazy stuff, I'm not going to rip him or WWE because one year it goes wrong. All of those years it should have gone wrong. Just regular athletes, Kofi should not be able to do what he has done in those spots with Royal Rumble matches. We got spoiled over the years with these insane spots with Kofi. Tonight was a reminder of WWE, okay, enough. Enough. Because that's what happens if it doesn't go well. Now we only got 30 seconds of Kofi instead of maybe 5 or 10 minutes. So he's eliminated. Otis is in at number 25, and now is where those 5 remaining spots is what I said is going to be the focus. This is what we're going to remember in the Royal Rumble. Big E comes comes at in at 26. Immediate suplex to Riddle, splash to Owens, just to be bro kicked by Sheamus. Bad Bunny comes in at number 27. Hits a splash to Sheamus. Kevin Owens attempts a powerbomb to Bad Bunny, but Bad Bunny takes down Kevin Owens. Hits an insane Canadian destroyer to Riddle. Sheamus ultimately takes down Bad Bunny. He tries to bro kick Bad Bunny, but Bad Bunny gets out of dodge. Sheamus misses over the top rope. Sheamus eliminated. Rey Mysterio starts helping Bad Bunny. So he ends up setting up Dolph Ziggler to get the 619 from Rey Mysterio. And then Dolph Ziggler is eliminated by Bad Bunny. And so far, look, Bad Bunny looking great. Looking great. But then what ends up happening is Bad Bunny teases eliminating Rey Mysterio. I guess he tried to eliminate Rey, but Rey and Bad Bunny played off like, no, I'm just kidding. You know, but what ends up happening is Kevin Owens hits a stunner to Bad Bunny. Otis eliminates Rey Mysterio. And then Shane McMahon hits the ring at number 28. Shane McMahon eliminates Kevin Owens to a chorus of boos. Fans were not liking it. Fans are more into Kevin Owens than you think. They appreciate how hard he is working, not just in the ring, but his psychology, his promos, little detail, little things. I'm telling you, fans are really appreciating Kevin Owens. Shane McMahon eliminates him to boos. Shane and Drew McIntyre are going at it. Randy Orton is in at number 29. An RKO to Kevin Owens. RK-Bro eliminate Big E to a lot of fans' surprise, including yours truly. But again, I think Big E ends up winning at Elimination Chamber. I think Big E will get that WrestleMania match. All the matches that I said for WrestleMania are still possibilities. So just because they didn't get it tonight at Royal Rumble doesn't mean they won't get it at Elimination Chamber. So RK-Bro eliminates Big E. RKO to Drew McIntyre. They eliminate Otis. And then Brock Lesnar comes in at number 30. Randy Orton gets eliminated by Brock Lesnar. Crowd booing. Crowd booing. They were not happy with Brock Lesnar eliminating Randy Orton. Brock is now face-to-face with Bad Bunny. And as Michael Cole said, bunnies can fly. Brock hits an F5 onto Bad Bunny, throws Bad Bunny over the top rope. Bad Bunny is eliminated. So we're now down to Brock, Riddle, Shane, and Drew McIntyre. Brock Lesnar eliminates Riddle. Brock Lesnar knocks out Shane McMahon. We're down to Brock Lesnar and Drew McIntyre, and just like Ronda Rousey and Charlotte, Brock Lesnar very quickly gets rid of Drew McIntyre. Brock Lesnar wins your Royal Rumble. So Brock Lesnar goes on to WrestleMania, and he will obviously challenge Roman Reigns. So, you know, for the last five spots, the last 10 minutes of the match, I enjoyed it tremendously. I think it was very predictable that the first three quarters of the match was going to be somewhat uneventful, and it was. Not one of the more memorable Royal Rumble matches that we'll look back on, with some, obviously, individual highlights. But, yeah, interesting match. Interesting match. So, that was your Royal Rumble match tonight. Let me get into a couple of questions and super chats, and we will call it a night, because there is some decent questions in here. Shout out to Crazy Cruiserweight for his super chat before we talked about Sailor Moon. King of Games 405, he's so glad that Ronda Rousey showed up. Also, it was awesome hearing the Right to Censor theme song. I enjoyed it. It, you know, the thing is, people, I think, don't realize how many years it's been. It's been almost two decades. There is a boatload of wrestling fans that never experienced the Right to Censor storyline with Steven Richards and the Good Father and Ivory. And other members as well. That was a fun storyline, man. I mean, them taking the tables away from the Dudleys and Steven Richards running down the rampway with the tables. No. They tried to, because that was going on at that time. You had those councils, parent-teacher council, and there were a few others that were against WWE. They were trying to censor WWE quite a bit. So that storyline was always a great one. And the funny thing is, that storyline would still work today. It would still work today. So that was good. Jay Carlos. Oh, yes. Let me mention this. Earlier in the night, you know, we had a couple of times where a referee would talk to an individual wrestler. At one point, I forget which wrestler it was, but a referee, like, grabbed the wrestler's hand and the wrestler grabbed it back. When you see referees getting close in the face of wrestlers, without getting to this whole thing, there is a lot of communication going on between the wrestler and the referees. You know, the wrestlers don't have earpieces and they can't communicate with each other, especially when they're on opposite sides of the ring. So what'll happen a lot of times is the referee will go up to a wrestler and play off like, "Are you okay?" Meanwhile, the wrestler is not answering, "Yeah, I'm fine." The wrestler is telling the referee what he wants to do next. The referee then goes to the opposite side of the ring, goes to the other wrestler, and relays the message to the other wrestler. That's how they communicate sometimes. Trust me, when I did the three horrible matches that I did, you know, that's what you do. Also, what happens is if a referee wants to check on a wrestler to see that they're okay, you know, sometimes they'll squeeze a wrestler's hands or a wrestler will pinch them or, you know, touch something. That's just an acknowledgement that they're okay. So it's always communication. That's what goes down. And now, because I said, if you've never noticed that before, you'll now notice it quite a bit. Every promotion does it, from indie to WWE to AEW. They all do it. It's very, you know, it's very important. A referee is a lot more important than you think. It's not just counting the three. He liked the Royal Rumble as well. Thank you for the kind words, as always. And, he noticed during the Becky Doudrop match about the sign. There was a lot of attention to that sign, and I don't blame people. You know, you see fire, and you see shit getting melted and dropping down from the ceiling. You know, that sign is not a little, you know, thing that, yeah, it's a pretty big sign. That sign spans like 10, 12, you know, seats. Huge. Then, God forbid, that catches onto something else. Thank you for the super chat, and thank you, as always, for the support, my friend. Much love, Jay Carlos. SRH John, yes, we talked about it before. It's nice to hear the pop that Mickey got. It was nice to hear some of the pops that went down tonight. Some people who we thought were going to get some type of reaction didn't. And when it comes to the legends, you know, you kind of feel bad. They haven't been around all that much. They show up and the fans are a little bit, you know, just uninterested, disinterested. They just are not. I mean, that happened to a few people tonight. So, but it was nice to see Mickey James back, and I'm sure it's all smiles. And Dennis Slusher II, overall, good Rumble. He's not going to lie, he wasn't as excited as he normally is. Do I think that was a botch by Kofi in the Rumble? Obviously, I answered that question already. Overall, this was not one of the more memorable Royal Rumbles. I mean, when you go back 5 years from now, you say to me, "DT, what's your top three Royal Rumbles in the last 10 years?" This is probably not one of them. When we get into, I guess I could do it now, my favorite match tonight, boy, man, it's not that easy. The women's Royal Rumble match, I enjoyed because from beginning to end, I felt more interested in it. You know, the men's Royal Rumble, it was that last 10 minutes that really mattered. You know, if you watch that back, you probably would fast forward like up to like the first 20 entrants and then you put it on play. I probably would go with the women's Royal Rumble match. No, you know what? Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley. Because it sets up WrestleMania. It gave the Paul Heyman swerve. Bobby Lashley gets the championship back. Yeah, it's not even close. Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley, my favorite match of the night. Absolutely. Favorite match of the night. Roman versus Seth, if it wasn't for the DQ finish, I would have chose that match. If they didn't have Damian Priest with all these DQ finishes for not breaking a move, you know, like if we didn't have all these Damian Priest DQs and Roman did what he did tonight, I probably would have accepted a little bit more. But we're reminded almost every week, hey, WWE, this Damian Priest snapping, can't control himself, gets disqualified, you know, gets all pissed off. It's not working. And now you did it with a Universal title match. So if it wasn't for that finish, I would have chose that match. Look, individual performance, not even close. My favorite individual performance tonight was Seth Rollins. Period. I have never left the bandwagon of Seth Rollins. You know, I love wearing the Rollins shirt on occasional Monday nights. It does troll a few people. What the hell are you wearing that crap for? And it's nice to see people who have not been into Rollins now getting into Rollins. I don't blame people that were just really sick and tired of Seth Rollins. I mean, you look over years, you know, recently with the dumb eyeball thing with Rey Mysterio and J&J Security and him being a chicken shit, there's a lot of reasons not to like Seth Rollins, but the guy is so freaking talented. I just used freaking. That was not intended. He is so talented. And again, nothing against AEW, but not every wrestler wants to just have five-star matches. They like to tell a story. They like to be an entertainer. They like to, you know, it's not just about in-ring. It's about psychology. And there are a few wrestlers in WWE that are more into the whole presentation, to have fans' emotions on their strings. And there's a big difference. There's a big difference creating a whole character and a whole psychology and a whole aura about yourself and that psychology, and then the psychology of a wrestler kicking out at two. You know, somebody hits a finisher in AEW, wrestler kicks out at two. Somebody hits 10 finishers, one after the other, wrestler still kicks out at two. There's an emotion there of a fan when a wrestler kicks out at two, but, you know, that's not necessarily an entertaining, you know, it's not an entertainer. It's not part of character development. It's just a wrestler kicking out of two. And a lot of fans pop for that because they don't want a match to end. You know, it does look a little ridiculous when you see somebody who should be considered dead after taking a spot and they kick out at two, you know, but people pop for it because that's them realizing, oh, the match is not ending yet. This match has been great. So that's why people get excited. So, yeah, Walter matches are a great example of that too. Absolutely. It's all fans doing that. But anyway, my favorite match, Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar. Roman versus Seth, a close second. If it wasn't for that DQ finish, my least favorite match of the night, you know, it's got to be Becky Lynch versus Doudrop. Nothing against either participant. It just, the match went, I think, how we all expected it, with the exception of the WrestleMania sign catching fire. But in the comment section, I'd love to know how you felt about the Royal Rumble tonight. On a scale of 1 to 10, I give it a 7.5. Give it a 7.5. It had some great moments that we could look back on as highlights. I think 7.5 is fair. You know, 5 is considered average, so it's above average. But, you know, there was a couple of things about it that was kind of like, eh, for me. So, but yeah, post your comments in the comment section. Let me know what you thought of the event. I know we're not supposed to say pay-per-view. It is still considered pay-per-view on a couple of cable networks, but because it's Peacock, it's premium live event. They say that not just for wrestling, by the way, everyone. It's premium live event. So, all right, I'm going to get out of here. Thank God it is not Sunday night, because right now it is almost 2:00 in the morning. So I get to sleep a little bit later tomorrow, but I have some snow digging to do. And with it being only about 10 degrees out right now, that means everything is going to be solid ice tomorrow. So it's not going to be as easy as I expected. When you get a little bit older, you know, you can't do like you used to. So it'll probably take enough out of me. But hey, Sunday night, I will be back here for the sit down, 8:05 p.m. And tomorrow will be mostly live chat. Last week we did calls. This week will be mostly live chat. So, hey, you want to chat a little bit more about Royal Rumble? You want to chat a little bit about WrestleMania? Anything else that's on your mind? Join me tomorrow night at 8:05 p.m. So, everyone, has been real. Thank you very much. I'm disappointed in you, for real. I just looked. We're 26 likes away from 200. You mean to tell me after that hour of kissing ass and begging, you mean that few of you hit that like button? Come on. On the way out, you know, this is the only way the channel grows. Like, subscribe, share. You know, I want the channel to grow more, and you can help by any way you can. Doesn't have to always be financial. So smash that like button. Okay, now I see the numbers going up. So hit it on the way out, and I will see you all tomorrow night at 8:05. So I hope you enjoyed the pay-per-view. Thank you for staying up late tonight and letting me chat with you a little bit about Royal Rumble. Fun night, absolutely. And you all stay safe. So I will see you hopefully tomorrow. If not, Monday night, right after Raw. So be well, everyone. Take care.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.